The purpose of Wealth Talk is to educate, inform, and hopefully entertain you on the subject of building your wealth. Wealth Builders recommends you should always take independent financial, tax, or legal advice before making any decisions around your finances.
Hello, welcome to episode 34 of Wealth Talk. My name is Christian Rodwell, the membership director of Wealth Builders, and I'm joined by the founder, Mr. Kevin Whelan.
Good evening, Chris. Good to talk to you again.
And to you, Kevin. How are things with you?
Well, things are great. I just had my 30th wedding anniversary.
Congratulations. Quite a milestone.
Well, it is for my wife. Yes, we had a lovely time at Le Manoir. And we're planning our trip to Canada with the whole family as well. So very much looking forward to those celebrations. And good fun. And it's actually talking about the good lady. That's the subject of our podcast today, Chris.
It is. And it's back to business, isn't it? Because we're now moving through the pillars as we've progressed through pillars 1 to 4. And the business pillar is pillar 5. And as you rightly said there, Kevin, we're focusing on women and wealth today.
Yeah, women and wealth. I mean, look, this is not a sexist comment, but if you think about the statement we always make, Chris, when we're talking to people about wealth, it's begin with the end in mind. And what I've noticed, if you look at some of the numbers, maybe our audience will remember that I'm an economist, so big on numbers. So I've got some numbers for you, Chris.
Okay, fire away.
A third, 3/4, and 1.2 million. Right? These are big numbers. So a third of women simply don't know how much they've got and how they're going to build their retirement. That's a huge number. You know, 1 in 3 just simply have no clue. By the time women get to their 60s, the average women's pension pot is a third of the size of a man's. Now, there are reasons for that, and I guess we'll touch on that. But to recognize that for the most part, people are going to get into retirement and the vast majority rely on a pension fund to provide them with that future. If the average fella's pension fund isn't enough and a woman's is a third, well, that certainly isn't going to be enough. Okay. 1.2 million of women in their 50s have got no retirement provision at all. That's a huge number. I mean, that's massive. And here's the problem, right? Because 3/4 of women, that's my 3/4 number, once, you know, those in their 60s are either single, divorced, or widowed. So the shocking thing is, women are going to be on their own. You know, us guys die before they do statistically. So, you know, women have to give themselves a kick wherever they can, and we can hope to help them do that, a gentle one, with not with a stiletto, but with a soft shoe, to say there are some things that women can do. And it's not just about, oh, woe is me, isn't the industry wrong, isn't the equal pay thing wrong. There's so many things women can do, and we want to focus on the positive, Chris, what people can do to start making up that gap and recognizing that in the end, they need to be more involved with the process, because the vast majority of them will end up on their own. And that's a sad state of affairs, but it's true.
Mm, that's right. And we do have a few stats to pull on, and we'll put the source of those stats in the show notes in case anyone is just you know, wondering where those references are from. But it's true that, of course, there is still this gender inequality within the corporate world. And of course, you know, there are certain reasons of childcare and things like this, which typically, you know, the women do take more of an active role in those things. However, you know, the stats are that only 1 in 3 UK entrepreneurs are female, and women account for only 17% of business owners. So there is a huge gap here, isn't there, Kevin?
There's a huge gap. And, you know, wealth, if we recognize that wealth is a process of seeing problems and being part of a solution, then it doesn't really matter how much time you have, and go back to last week's episode on time leverage, it's possible to learn and do something different to start bridging that gap. And I think definitely there's a huge growth in the market for women's groups, you know, where the special and unique needs of women and they're all of their various dynamics and how they process information, how they like to connect and collaborate, how they're much more likely to be strongly kind of socially enterprise type businesses. There's so many things and so many outstanding women in the field of businesses, and we'd like to share some of their stories and their passions, and they will be coming up in future episodes, Chris, where, and hopefully in the next one, where we can get people who are very passionate about this and liberating some of the ideas to give confidence and education and a sense of community around women. Because very often, if they're not, well, it's very obvious that most women are not taking an active role in finance, and wasn't being joking when I was talking about my wife, but she's very, very passive in the wealth building role, which is why it's really important to try and make sure we've got very solid backup teams around, so that when Kev croaks, you know, she's going to be okay, which of course she will be. But, you know, that's why we're building, you know, my daughter's in the business, my son's doing his law degree so he can get involved, my other son's doing property development, so he's done it now, he's now working in that field. So the whole family, you know, have a kind of a wealth spin to support what my wife is doing, because she's got many other things to think about. But those who do have the willingness to get involved in just thinking about different ways they could use some of the pillars to build their wealth, Chris, then it's really important to try and do that and build that around the time that, you know, women have. And certainly there's some obvious things they could quite easily do. And one of those is just to recognize that, you know, they do get a credit, you know, for some of the caring time in terms of national insurance. And you've got to go and claim that credit towards state pension. But those are the sorts of things that it's obvious to do. And we can post a link to those things, Chris. So, and look for some of those old pensions if they were in a job and then you left that job to have a family, as many people do, but then forget that there's a pension left behind. Do you remember we talked about the £10 billion worth of money in forgotten pensions, Chris? And many of those belong to women who just don't claim them, because when they go back to work or if they stay in that caring role, then they will often forget about those altogether. So it's quite important in the pension pillar just to make sure national insurance is claimed and also get a credit for childcare and those sorts of things to make sure you're getting your state pension credit. Not that the state pension should be the be-all and end-all, because anybody relying on the state pension, as that gets pushed back later and later and later, has got a wrong plan. But just, you remember we talked last time also about doing your wealth dynamic, Chris, so that husbands and wives see themselves as part of this overall family wealth plan and take whatever role you can in that process, and start by doing your wealth dynamic and discover what unique skills, what unique intellect, what unique path that you could take in supporting the overall wealth of the family. Because, you know, wealth is a mixture of all the different freedoms, Chris. We touched on that way back, probably episode one.
Yeah, certainly one of the first couple of episodes, we talked about those different freedoms, and time freedom is a big one. Obviously, a lot of people get into business because they want more control, they want more time to do the things. And that ties into our episode last week as well, doesn't it? With leverage being, you know, the most important you know, point of leverage is time.
Absolutely. So, you know, finding any amount of time, because the proportion of time most people spend, men and women together, in building wealth is pretty limited. So finding any kind of time, any leverage time to spend doing something, and that something could be really, really simple. As I say, like finding out about some things you've left behind, to also looking at some ways that value can be created. And there's many, many ways that women groups are getting together, aren't they, and sharing some common ideas that would be very unique to the way women like to build their wealth, with that sort of real sense of community. So many of those, and we hope to showcase some of those in the coming weeks.
Indeed. Indeed. So Are there any other points with regards to, you know, I guess the step-by-step system, Kevin, that you've created for building wealth? There is, there's really no, you know, there's no, certainly no inequality as to whether that system applies for men or women. And we have many of our members in the foundation program who are women and, you know, having fantastic results. And, you know, certainly within, I know, the SaaS business as well, I guess slightly outnumbered with men you see in terms of clients there, Kevin.
Well, I think it's true that as far as the wealth builder principles are concerned, they're principles. So they're sex agnostic. It doesn't matter who applies them, the principles will work. So it definitely makes sense to absorb the principles. But I think the key thing is how you apply those. So, you know, some of those things, for example, debits would be an easy thing to do if you've got limited time, you know, that process of trying to create money. Investing money is really quite simple. By redeploying money into investing, that doesn't have anything unique to it. But I think we're seeing more and more women exploring property and that uniqueness of the way, you know, property can be very much a relationship-based business with focusing on, you know, the tenants. I remember one of my clients who's, they decided to get into HMOs, and I remember it vividly, and it was Chris and Vicky is the name of these clients. And Chris was all kind of ex-banker, all gung-ho, had the funds, ready to put things in place. And Vicky was saying to me, oh, Kevin, I'm not really interested. I'll let Chris do that. And then when we got to the point where they had their first HMO launch party, and they invited me to that, and we cracked open a bottle of champagne, and they toured around their first HMO, which is in Orpington, she could not hold herself back, Chris. It was absolutely spectacular. You said, Kevin, come and see. I said, but Vicky, I thought you weren't interested. She said, shut up, I'm interested now. And she was showing me some of the beautiful things that she was doing, you know, in the HMOs and how she created these gifts, you know, special sort of toiletry gifts for the guests, as she called them. And I just thought it was brilliant that her unique and caring take was really a reflection of the business. And I think there are so many women who have that special take in the way they approach property, and they see it not as a money-making activity, but a way to provide people with homes that they can be really proud of. And many, you know, support some of the caring aspect of, you know, we talked about some of the exempt residential properties in a previous episode, when you can actually use your pension to buy those, you know, where you've got children who need special attention, or you've got groups that need special consideration from local authorities. You know, some really outstanding things that we've definitely seen women pay more attention to than the men. And I think it's just brilliant to see.
So if we were to summarize for today then, Kevin, I mean, for me, it just, you know, the word control, just really taking control of your future and your wealth. Super important, obviously, you know, whether you're male or female, this applies, but certainly in context of today's episode, would there be any other points to summarize from your side, Kevin?
Yeah, I think as far as the business is concerned, you know, you can really just start small. So there's no requirement to be thinking about a multi-million pound business. You know, anything that's providing value, small businesses and, you know, different ways that, as I say, you can build a community around that. And I like the idea that it's so easy now with technology to get into businesses of all kinds. And we've got some really great examples of people using Amazon and people using networking type of environments, you know, multi-level marketing, and lots of great experiences in property as well, where, you know, this it's the barrier to entry is just so easy, and people can get together and do that business in time that's unique to, you know, the special times that are available for people who don't have the same ability as others, you know, in terms of just having more of that gap in time. So being able to fit it around kids, being able to fit around many different things. We're seeing that now, and I think it's great to see.
Mm. So as you mentioned, Kevin, at the start of the episode, we're definitely reaching out to some of the, you know, successful women that we would like to invite onto the podcast. And hopefully in the next episode or two, we will have their viewpoints. And, you know, that'd be really something to look forward to.
And I think showcasing some of our own students, Chris, who are fitting these things in and, you know, paying due respect to how they're doing that, and for them to give their unique insight on, you know, what their challenges have been uniquely and how particularly they've taken care of that. And we've got some real energy people around the community, haven't we, Chris? People like Louise, who's got a full-time job nailing that, but so busy and so active in the community. It's just brilliant to see. And many others, but I think definitely for those who need a little bit of inspiration, we've got four or five people in mind who would give their take on really what's going on and how women can take a very particular way to apply, you know, their style and thoughts to building wealth on their own terms. And I'm looking forward to having those interviewed and share their stories for everyone to hear.
Yeah, that'll be coming up very soon. So thanks, Kevin. That was good chatting to you today. And I guess I'll see you on the next episode of Wealth Talk.
I look forward to that, Chris. And you're going to be heading off to America soon, aren't you, for an exercise in some of the marketing skills that we're bringing to play now and some of the technology yourself. So looking forward to you. You're going away very soon. So we might have a little break while Chris is away. But in the meanwhile, we'll try and get these interviews to you. And I look forward to you seeing you, Chris, when you get back.
Cool. Thanks, Kevin.
See ya.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Don't forget that we are constantly updating our resources inside the Wealth Builders membership site to help you create, build, and protect your wealth. Head over to wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership right now for free access. That's wealthbuilders.co.uk/membership.